we will turn now to the part of the chapter which we have read together from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we can read from verse 11 to verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for our recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged, and so on. In this chapter, Apostle Paul, who was instrumental in establishing the Christian church in Corinth, vindicates himself and the ministry and the doctrine which he preached. And he says to them that although the exhortation is largely to Christians, but it is useful to all. You have a number of things from verse 3 down to our text. Give no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the minister of God, in much patience and afflictions and necessities and distresses. And what he's leading up to is he's exhorting the Corinthians, that is those who are believers, to keep themselves separate from the world and unholy alliances. What I want just to point out before we move on, there were a lot of problems had arisen in the Corinthian church. They were converted out of heathendom, we know, the trouble with them was this, that they had brought so much of heathen practice and worldly practice with them into the church at Corinth, and they were seeking to mingle their paganism with Christian practice. That's what's at the head of it, or I should say at the back of it. And there were divisions amongst them. There were abuses of the sacrament, the Lord's Supper, and so on. Paul would have them to be divorced entirely from these things. You see, the situation in Corinth was very different to that, say, for example, of Thessalonica, the church of Thessalonica. You see, there was a clean break with the past, with idolatry, and with the heathen past. Their conversion was, as it were, so clear, so decisive. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 about the manner of entering in that the gospel had to them, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and their faith was spoken about throughout the whole world. This wasn't true of the Corinthians, but nevertheless they were true Christians. Indeed, when Paul first came with the gospel to Corinth, He was, for a time, it would seem, minded to leave the place. He was becoming weary. But the Lord appeared to him. It's in Acts 18. The Lord appeared to him in a vision in the night and told him to be of good comfort or good cheer, to lift up his voice and not to be afraid, for the Lord had much people in this city. Despite all the difficulties, we see the spirit that Paul is off in the language of our text, in these verses, and the lead into this exhortation from verse 14 onwards: be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? But the matters I want to pursue just now, the Lord helping us, arising from the verses, from these verses that we have chosen. First of all, there is an appeal to them. There is an appeal to them. It's in these words: O ye Corinthians, verse 11, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged or expanded. And then secondly, I want to look at the grounds of that appeal. And that takes us back into the closing verses of chapter 5, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And the third thing, we will look at the reasons for this appeal, and that they make a total and complete break with the past. That takes us into verses 14 to the end, and the first verse of chapter 7. And it may seem, on the outward appearance, to be to Paul to be very strict and very, and perhaps a little severe. But if we really understood it, it's a very opposite. That's why his mouth is opened and his heart enlarged, to speak and to exhort in the way that, in the manner he is doing. It is full of Christian love and affection. Well, first of all, his appeal to them. As we'll come to it, it's a follow-on from what is stated in chapter 5 in the reconciliation. But what the first point that I will just make here is simply this, with regard to this appeal to them as Christians. The gospel has many appeals to sinners of all kinds. And it's this, is Christian love for them. That's why his mouth was opened, to speak freely. His heart was enlarged. And that simply means, despite all the defects in the church in Corinth and what was amongst them, the fact that his heart was expanded means he was ready to welcome them and to embrace them despite the difficulties. He is ready to embrace them all as his children. Yes, that may need discipline. That may need some harsh things to be spoken. But that will be for their good. And because he says in the 13th verse, now for a recompense, in the same I speak as unto my children. And that is a term of endearment, his children. It was largely through his ministry that they were begotten. They were used of the Lord. He says, be also enlarged. Be also expanded, to use that word. Because the position that they were in, it was the very opposite that was happening with them. The very opposite. They were not enlarged. They didn't have that love and affection. What we would call Christian love, because of unholy alliances. They were mixing it with the world. They were mixing their Christianity with the world. And it cannot be. They are two opposites. You see, he asks the question, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? That Satan, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And you see, when he says to them in verse 12, you're not straitened in us, you're straitened in your own bowels, that is, in your own hearts. They were compressed. It was producing in them anguish of spirit. Because they were not making a clean break from their former associations and practices. It is this that is pulling them down and placing them in these situations. And of course, we should, and the principal thing is idols, idolatry. And what idolatry is in the heart of man by nature, it's in every one of us. Because what Paul is coming to, and what Paul is going to bring out is in his advice to them, is simply this, that because of this change of state as Christians, in contrast with their former state, they are now a new creation, and therefore their very hearts, their souls, their bodies were to be the temple of God, they were to be the dwelling place of God, and God was to dwell in them. That is what he is largely saying to them. And we should bear in mind that idols, that idolatry, whatever nature it is, whether it's external, whether it's what we cherish in the heart, is an affront to the Creator. And if we are in that state, we've all got to learn it. The doctrine here is profitable for all. It's left on record for the good of the church in all ages and in all generations. And we are to learn from it. And I often think about Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The whole word of God is profitable. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, as it is said elsewhere. But if you study Paul's letter to the Corinthians, both letters, if there's one part of the New Testament that is so relevant to the Christian church in this generation, is Paul's letter to the Corinthians. because we try to serve two masters, then this is what will compresses, what will causes anguish, will place us in distress, in straits. He uses that word. Now he says, you're not straitened in us. That's in the apostles. You're not straitened in the gospel. The gospel is the very means by which you can be enlarged, expanded, to develop, to grow in grace and in knowledge. But what is so important to that expansion, to that growth in Christian love, is this, and it's very expressive, what's in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate. That's where the expansion is, that's where the enlargement of heart is, in obedience to the will of God. Flee idolatry, flee sin. Of course it takes in sin of every kind, because it's sin that brings us into straits. Sin brings us into a whole host of difficulties. And of course we should not lose sight of the fact, of course when we're brought into straits and difficulties in this world, it's perhaps part of the chastisement that the Lord will bring, sometimes brings on his people. But what we should bear in mind is, with regards to these things, what company are we going to be in at the great day? What will be the anguish, the straits, the distress, the sorrow? It's beyond measure at the great day of judgment, when sinners will find themselves on the left hand of Christ. So, you see, we're living in an age, in a society, where people have very narrow-minded views of the gospel. And they think to be a Christian, and a true Christian, to be separate from the world, to be separate from unholy alliances, they look on you as narrow-minded, and they look on you as sad, just because one doesn't go in the same excess of sin, and they think, oh, it's you that's in straits. But they didn't realize, you're not our expansion, our enlargement in grace, the fruit of the new creation, where it is. It's not only to follow Christ, but to be obedient to Christ. And that's what we have to learn. That's what we have to learn. So, that's what's in his appeal. That's why he's speaking in the manner he's speaking. Our mouth is open. And because of the expansion of his heart, the enlargement of his heart, he's speaking freely. He's speaking in love. He's speaking out of the fullness of his heart. It is gospel love. It is Christian love. It is the love of Christ that's in Paul. And this is what Paul would have for his children. And those who are a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's not to follow the world. It's not to follow men. It's not to follow public opinion. You see, the Christian, he ought to seek this distinction, to stand out, and he's to reflect the divine glory as the temple of God. So you can see what lies behind this appeal, why his mouth is so opened freely, why his heart is so alive. We are to remember that. Don't wish to be misunderstood, but we are, of course, one is not to be critical for his own sake. We're not speaking here about fault finding. That is wrong, but there is a certain kind of criticism that can be spoken in love for the good of individuals, for the good of the soul, for encouragement. You see, he uses the phraseology, I speak this into my children. Well, I'm sure you've spoken in nature, those of you who have had children, brought up children, what it was to speak to your children, even when with chastisement, even with rebuke, you spoke to them in love, surely. But how much more the children of God, how much more the Spirit of Christ. And this is where Paul was enlarged and why he spoke freely, and he would have them to be enlarged and expanded in the same particular way. But I want to come secondly to this, the grounds of this appeal, the reasons for it. And of course, why his heart was so enlarged, and so why he was speaking freely. And it's to do, I come back to the conclusion of chapter 5, and this is why we read it. It's to do with the ministry of reconciliation. What was done for them in Christ? What was done for them in Christ? That God was in Christ reconciling the world into himself. And that's bringing them right back to the whole doctrine, the philosophy, the wisdom of the cross of Christ. That's the reason for it. That's why they are to be expanded. That's why they are to be new. That's why they are new creatures. That's why they are to separate themselves from the world. The cross of Christ is the great argument. And of sure, you see, the cross of Christ does not teach the cross of Christ does not teach a man what Christ, God did in Christ Jesus. Does not teach a man to live in sin. Does not teach a man to live in idolatry. Does not teach a man to live in the world. That's an abuse of the grace of God. Paul himself speaks on this elsewhere. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And the very message of reconciliation, the preaching of the cross of Christ, the preaching of Christ crucified. It's this very preaching that brought them into a new relationship with God. It was the outcome of this preaching by the power of God and by the Spirit of God that they became new creatures in Christ Jesus. And the very law of the new creation is, come out from among them and be ye separate. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's a very reason for it. Now, it was this message of reconciliation was the very means by which they received the grace of God. And notice at the beginning of chapter 6. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now this is where they were falling down. It Yes, they were true, but this was the impression that might be given even to the world. Are these people, because of their manner of life and because of what they were doing in their practices and so on, in their abuse of the Lord's Supper, in their taking their idols with them into the worship of God, even the world would be asking the question, have these people received the grace of God? Are they truly Christian? And the world will ask that question. The world will ask that question. And that is a solemn thing. But you see, there's encouragement. There's tremendous encouragement given when he says, you see, I've heard thee, verse 2, I've heard thee in the time accepted, and the day of salvation have I succored thee. There is no doubt they were genuine, but the light was darkened. What communion hath light with darkness? But here's the principal thing about the grounds for this very appeal to them. In their whole witness and in their testimony before the world, how did they receive the grace of God? How did these Corinthians receive the grace of God? And let me ask the question, if you're a Christian today, how did you receive the grace of God? If you've got an interest in the grace of God, in the free grace and mercy of God, how did you receive it? How did you come into it? Well, it's in the very last verse of this, of chapter 5. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's the grounds for this appeal, that Christ was made sin. And what every Christian as recipients of the grace of God should consider over the whole question of sin, what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, it is this. Consider what sin did to Christ. He was made sin, not made a sinner. He was made sin. That is, sin was imputed to him or transferred to him, the sins of his people. That's how they received grace. And you received it in no other way if you have grace. And that's why he is exhorting them. His mouth is opened. His heart is enlarged. Beseeching them that they receive not the grace of God in vain. He's speaking us as his children. As his children begotten in the gospel. And as his children, they are to reflect the image of their Father in heaven. They are to reflect the glory of their Father in heaven, and as a new creation in Christ Jesus, because their status changed on the grounds of what took place at the cross. Christ been made sin for them who knew no sin. They are therefore now to reflect the grace of God, they're to show it. And the proving of it is this, to abandon their sins, to abandon their past, to abandon their lusts, to abandon every sinful activity. What they're called upon now is to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why he's saying, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. Now, I know that language is not popular today. But it doesn't matter. it's the word of God that shall stand, whether it is popular or unpopular. It's our relationship to Christ that matters, because that's what's going to determine everything in the end. It's not a relationship to men. It's not a relationship to the world. It's not a relationship even to the church. And a lot of people think because the church does it, the church says it, the church does this, then it's all right. But what does the Word of God say? This is where Paul stood. That's what we've got to remember. We are to consider him in our Christian lives, in our spiritual activity. We are to consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. We are to take up the cross. And these words, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin," there brings out the cross. It's the punishment of sin. It's where sin was imputed on behalf of others in the death of Christ. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." And it's that very doctrine that should teach them, as Paul was speaking to them, and teach you and me, if we have come to receive the grace of God, if we know the grace of God in truth, to hate sin, to die into sin, and to live into righteousness. So the cross and the message of reconciliation by which the gospel came to them is the grounds for this appeal. "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged." O ye Corinthians, that's to the church that Paul was writing. But we can use the same language. We can use the same language if we're writing to Christians, if we're speaking to Christians. Our mouths, if we know something of this expansion of grace, what it is for our coast to be enlarged, to speak freely, we can say to the Christian, "O Christian, our mouth is open to unto you, our heart is enlarged, you're not straitened in us." It may be you're straitened in your own heart, or in your own bowels, in your own affections. We can say to the seeking soul, if there's some desire after Christ, in speaking freely, "O seeker of salvation, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged." You may be straitened in many things. You may be straitened. You may be straitened in many circumstances, whether it is personal, internal, or external. You may be straitened. To the degree that you cannot get out, so to speak. But you're not straitened in the gospel. And the Lord is speaking to the seeking soul as well as to the Christian. These words here and this whole exhortation is suitable to the seeking soul, or to any that may have a desire after Christ to take up the cross and to follow him. You're not straitened in us. You're straitened in your own affections, in your own hearts. That's where the difficulty lies, the heart. You're not perhaps in a very different situation to the believers in Corinth. You may not be carrying idols into the worship of God and so on. You may not have the same issues as they had, but you have your own issues. You have your own difficulties. That may bring you into straits or into distress, But Paul is saying to the seeking soul, be also enlarged. Go back to the message of reconciliation, what Christ has done for you. Well, I want to come thirdly and lastly to this, the reasons for this appeal. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. And it's that to make a total and complete break with our past. Now, I've touched on this already, but I'll just repeat it. The first reason for this exchange, the first reason for this appeal is the exchange of places, that Christ took your place. In the words, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Where would you be? Where would I be? If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus taking your place as your surety and substitute. They are bought with a price. They're now under a new master. They are no longer under the service of sin and Satan. They are redeemed from it. That's the first reason that they should abandon it. Christ took their place. He was made sin for us, said Paul, for us. For us. There's a lot in these words, for us. The second reason for this appeal to them as Christians, oh ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our hearts enlarged, is their duty by way of obedience. You see, following a series of questions, and they're serious questions, and it shows the great gulf between the two Christians, between the true Christian and the world, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, with idolaters, with an ungodly world, and even a religious world. The word unequally yoked comes from two opposite animals being yoked to the plough. The ox and say the ass, or the ox and the mule, pulling in two different directions. That's what it means. And I say to anybody, beware of anything that pulls you away from Christ. It doesn't matter who it is. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness? It's so decisive. What communion hath light and darkness, day and night? What concord hath Christ with Belial? You see, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and chapter 11, you see, he said to some of them in dealing with issues connected with the Lord's Supper. You see, you can't sit at the Lord's table and the table of devils. Christ and Belial. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. This is their new status. Their heart is to be cleansed from idols. Ah, Their hearts were to be cleansed from idols. Their hearts now were to be the dwelling place of God. And that means, that's what he says. You see, there's a promise, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Verse 16, and they will be their God and they shall be my people. What tender, my God, my people. What higher accolade could any person we see, my God, I will be their God, ye shall be my people. That's really a quotation from Isaiah 50. Verse 11, although it's in a different form of words. Depart ye, go ye out from hence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean. Bear the vessels of the Lord, for ye shall not go out with haste nor by flight, for the Lord your God will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your reward. See, that comes into the what's I'm coming to, and I will receive you at the end of verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate. That's the duty of the Christian. And it's the duty of everyone seeking Christ to separate himself from a godless world, not just the heathen world, but even the godless religious world. It's light and darkness. It'll be well for us if we give heed to the word of God, to what the Lord is saying to us in his word. And although some take a long time to learn, and of course the whole of the Christian life is, if we're true at all, we will discover that this world becomes a wilderness. And if you begin to follow Christ, you will discover that the world becomes a wilderness. Becomes an empty place, becomes a weary land, and I can see in some measure, I don't want to compare myself to others, but I can say in truth to you, what's in our text, O ye Corinthians, a mouth is open unto you, your heart is enlarged. Because this part of the Word of God means an awful lot to myself, because at the very commencement of my Christian career, or very early on in my Christian career, these verses spoke to me very clearly and very loudly. And it's from that basis that I say it to others. Your duty by way of obedience, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to receive the grace of God, if you're going to be a recipient of the grace of God and follow Christ, you've got to come out. No other way. And look at the promise. And this is grace, this is love, this is what will give you enlargement of heart. Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will receive you. It's not Paul. It's not the minister. It's not the church. I will receive you. That's the Lord himself, the God of heaven. Ah, this is grace. Can you take it? Can you take it today in all your helplessness on the grounds of the divine mercy, on the grounds of the reconciliation that he was made sin for you? Can you come out? Can you leave all for Christ's sake? I will receive you. It's not what others receive you. Yes, you'll make enemies. Yes, you'll find opposition. That's not the issue. I will receive you. You'll be received in the court of heaven. And what then? Here's your status. Here's your state now. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. That's your encouragement. See why his mouth was opened, his heart enlarged. What encouragement. So you have these in connection with this whole chapter. Indeed, we'll finish on this note. Chapter 7, verse 1. Having these promises, dearly beloved, oh, see the heart of Paul. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfect in holiness in the fear of God. Can you see what's behind in the little we've said, however imperfectly, what's behind our text in verse 11? As he addressed the Corinthians in their narrowness, in their distress. Oh, ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged to embrace you all. To embrace you all. That's I can say honestly, though we're few in number, at the present time, that I can see, however imperfectly. That's the spirit I'm of as a minister. I'm not bragging or boasting. That's what I wish to do. Not just you sitting here, but even those who don't bother to come to church, whatever reasons they may have or excuses they may have. Our mouth is open. Our heart is expanded. They're not straightened in us. The problem is with their own hearts. That's where the difficulty lies. That's their narrowness. That's the cause of their distress. There's no problem with the gospel. It's so kind. It's so full of love. It is so ready to embrace. And it's not, as I said earlier, it's not Paul, it's not the minister. Notice the words again at the end of verse 17, I will receive. To be received by heaven, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Let us conclude, let us pray, and wash away our sins, grant to bless us. May we give heed to the exhortations of thy word. May we not be ashamed of the gospel. May we know it is the power of God unto salvation. May our meeting not be in vain. May we take encouragement from these appeals, the appeals of Holy Scripture. The grounds for these appeals, the message of reconciliation, the reasons by way of duty, by way of obedience. And the precious promises to encourage us. Help us to lay it up in our hearts, to practice it in our lives. Take us to our homes in safety. Come out in the evening. Grant thy presence and blessing. For Christ's sake, amen.